Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Hope you're having a really good day. Really glad you tuned in today. Well, in less than a year's time, we realized as we watched the news that ISIS grew into this terrifying reality in the Middle East. And thousands, as we know, have been persecuted, martyred by this network of those Islamic terrorists. And their numbers are increasing. So it seems impossible to turn on the news without hearing of some atrocity they've committed. And it's amazing how they continue to gain momentum. It seems like you hear reports of military forces pushing back, and then they push back again. What are we to do as Christians? How are we to view what's going on in the Middle East, especially at the hands of ISIS? It's tempting to feel powerless. It's tempting to be afraid. But Scripture says we're not supposed to be afraid. But is there more that we can do than just not be afraid? I mean, we have to wrestle that fear thing to the ground because we're charged to. But is there more we can do? Well, what if we could actually affect change in a miraculous, marvelous way? Well, God invites us to partner with him to see his purposes fulfilled on the earth today. And this may be a surprise to you. Part of that purpose is to declare to ISIS that love is coming after them. I love that. Lorraine Marie Varela, she's joined me before. She joins me again today to talk about her book, Love in the Face of ISIS, Seven Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. And I got to tell you, I was at the Toby Mac concert last night, and one of his guys got up and he said, all whites are not racist. All blacks are not criminal. All Muslims are not ISIS. And somehow, some way, we've got to learn to come together, to love each other. And I thought that was just fantastic because ISIS is such a force, we can react in fear to a dear, dear people whom God loves. And we need to know how to react in faith, right? So I can't wait for you to hear from Lorraine. She's got a beautiful heart, great things to say. Quick announcement, though. I'm really hoping and praying you'll join us for our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. We're so excited about it. It was such a smashing success last summer. We've expanded it to Friday night and Saturday. In fact, we've got some extra tracks for people who want to step in and maybe take a jumpstart track, an advanced track, or a singer-songwriter track. All that information is on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. But I am talking about it now because, though we can accommodate a large number of people, there are a limited number of one-on-one appointments, and truly that is where the stuff happens. That's when you get a chance to meet face-to-face with an editor, an agent, or an expert in the field. In fact, Lorraine's story took place at a writer's conference. That's how she got published. That's how many people get published. So check it out, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lorraine Marie Varela is the author of Powerful Moments in the Presence of God, as well as the one we're talking about today, Love in the Face of ISIS. She's also a professional photographer. She's traveled to the Middle East and lives near Seattle. Actually, I think she's moved since then because she's in California now, where she and her husband led a congregation, but now her story is completely brand new. I can't wait for you to tell Lorraine your story. But you and her husband, they have two grown daughters, and you can connect with her online at LorraineMarie.com. Lorraine, I'm sorry we don't have an updated bio on you because I was just with you weeks ago, and yes, lots has changed since this bio.
So much.
Wow, I can't wait for people to hear about it. But welcome to the show to start with.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. This is going to be a wonderful time. I'm so excited to talk to you again, Susie, yep. And it was great seeing you in person.
Yes, and for those who are wondering what we're talking about, actually Sarah Bowling, who we had on First Hour, and Lorraine and myself, we got to meet again face-to-face backstage because we were all guests on a particular TV show, and it was so good to connect again. Well, Lorraine, you've been on the show before. You know we love to start by talking Scripture. Wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
Yes, when I got that question about a life verse, I had this one immediately. I just prayed about it, and the Lord gave me this one. I thought it was so perfect, and it comes from 2 Timothy 1:12. And it says, "The confidence of my calling enables me to overcome every difficulty without shame, for I have intimate relationship, revelation of this God, and my faith in him convinces me that he's more than able to keep all that I placed in his hands safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing."
Oh, my goodness.
And it comes from this this hymn, maybe you recognized it in there, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. And this is just the confidence we have in prayer. When we know whom we've believed, we are persuaded he is able, and we pray in agreement with him, and it just brings out his perfect peace. It's the counteraction to fear and all that we've been already talking about today.
So tell me, what was that translation? Is that Passion, or what is that?
That is the Passion translation.
Yes. And what's the reference again?
2 Timothy 1:12.
Would you read that one more time? Because I think somebody needed to hear that today.
Okay, yes. The confidence of my calling enables me to overcome every difficulty without shame, for I have an intimate revelation of this God. And my faith in him convinces me that he is more than able to keep all that I've placed in his hands safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing. I needed to hear that today. Thank you for that. Wow. Okay, well, you open the book with an interesting story of how God actually gave you the title of this book. People are going to be amazed, because I don't know that you ever thought that you would write a book titled Love in the Face of ISIS. Give us the backstory.
Yes, I love that. And it ties in so much to your Christian Writers Conference. And I do highly recommend that anybody who's listening who has that prompting, just go, because you just don't know what the Lord has in store for you. I was at a Christian Writers Conference, and I had gone there primarily just to meet the presenter of this workshop. She was a woman who comes from the publishing company that I had just gotten involved with, and just loved every people from Chosen Books, and I just wanted to meet this woman. And so I sat in her workshop, and she was doing a presentation called The Power of Your Premise. How do you get a publisher to be interested in the book that you'd like to have published? And she said, you need a good premise statement and a powerful title. And if you could do that, then you can get your publisher hooked into the work that you'd like to create. So she gave us some practice assignments, and there were just 9 of us in the class. And she gave my group of 3 the assignment to write about ISIS and the Middle East. She didn't know that my husband and I already had tickets to go into the Middle East in about 8 weeks from that time. Hmm. She had no idea about our background, but she gave us this assignment. And immediately when she spoke those words, I had a vision of being seated in heaven, looking at the earth from God's perspective. And I knew this would be a book about prayer. How do we pray heaven to earth? How do we pray with his heart strategy in mind? And so we did this little assignment. And when we finished in a few minutes, one of my co-workers read the premise statement, and I thought, wow, that's going to be such a powerful book. I can't wait to read it. And then I thought, oh, I think I'm supposed to write this book. And anyway, it just went from that thought to a miracle within, I think it was less than 3 weeks, I had a contract from Chosen Books to write Love in the Face of ISIS, a title, by the way, that was given to me when I was in worship. In my church service, as my friend was leading worship, I heard the words Love in the Face of ISIS, and I knew it would be the title for this book.
Absolutely. And there's more amazing about this story. You got to jump ahead just a little bit, because you also got connected in a short amount of time with some film producers.
I did. So I received on June 14th, 2015. I received the contract for Love in the Face of ISIS, the book. And that morning I was at another writer's conference in Redding, California. And again, I was there, my husband and I were there just to connect with our editorial director from Chosen Books, because we just wanted to say thank you. Just thank you to her for everything that she had done to bring us into the publishing world. And that before I arrived there, I felt the Lord tell me to be expectant for what he was going to do while we were at Bethel, because it'd be greater than what he had released when we were at the first writers' conference just 3 weeks prior. And so that evening, there were 2 Hollywood film producers that were speaking about the power of your premise for films. It was honestly the same talk that I had heard 3 weeks earlier about books, but now we're talking about it in relationship to film. How do you get producers to be interested in your film? Well, you need a really strong title, one that has a hook, one that gives the person who wants to see the movie an idea of the genre, what the conflict might be. And it sounds like a movie, and we've never seen it before. And when he said those words, my husband, Gabriel, turned to me and he said, the title of your book is a hook for a movie, Love in the Face of ISIS. And I knew immediately that he was correct, but I also was completely confused, because I knew that this was a book that was going to be about prayer strategies and how does that translate into a film. And so I sat in my seat and I said, I just prayed and I said, okay, Lord, if this is supposed to be a movie, then what's the story? And as I sat there, the producers were still talking and I just saw this film opened up before my eyes from start to finish, characters, conflict, plot, the climax, the whole thing was just shown to me. And I was amazed. And then I was very confused because I believed that I was supposed to be writing a book on prayer strategies. And all I can think about is this movie about ISIS, about these two brothers who go on this journey and how their lives are so impacted. And for the next 24, 48 hours, I was just in this mode of getting revelation from the Lord about this movie. And at the end of that time, as the producers were on their way out, leaving the facility, we were able to share with them this vision that God had given me while we were listening to them speak. And one of our producers just looked at me and he said, I love it. I love every bit of it. This movie's gold. Do you want me to make your movie? And I'm like, yes. And he said, have you ever done anything like this before? And I said, no. I've not even read a script, let alone written a screenplay. But I know that God is in it. Give me a year, and a year from today, I'll have a screenplay for you. And he said, great, go with God. And later he told me, that, like later as in like just a few weeks ago, he told me, yeah, we thought that was really strange and didn't know whether or not to believe you. But he really sensed that God was moving in his heart to say yes, that the Holy Spirit was on this project. And so a year from the day, in a miraculous, miraculous time with the Lord, God enabled me to finish the screenplay. And I sent it off to our producers. And when they read it, they said that they'd never seen anything like this happen before, where a screenplay from an unknown writer, one who's never attempted this type of genre before, came in 95% with where it needed to be first time around. All they needed to do was change the font and add some cinematic flourishes and just clean it up a bit, and it was ready to go.
Amazing.
And, yeah.
I got to quit using the word unbelievable, but it's just unbelievable. And Lorraine, if you can get to know her, everywhere she goes, she's got divine connections. You don't want to be her friend because it seems like the times I've talked with you, the kind of divine interception and interruptions God brings, it's so beautiful. He loves you. I think you might be one of his favorite, Lorraine. I just love that. Such a dear girl. Lorraine Marie Varela, her book, Love in the Face of ISIS. I just thought you might want to hear that story. She and her husband are in California now. They minister. I think you're full-time chaplains, aren't you, for the film crew, right? Something
yes,
like
we
that.
Are.
It's amazing.
Yes.
So there's more there. But we're going to dig into Love in the Face of ISIS, prayer strategies, so we don't walk in fear. Actually, we walk in faith, and we pray, and mountains move. Don't go away. More with Lorraine Varela when we return. You're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to Lorraine Varela. She wrote the book Love in the Face of ISIS. And if you just tuned in, you've got to go back and hear the open, just her story. Never really planning to write a book quite like this. And God sort of dropped the idea into her heart. But it was just 8 weeks prior to you and your husband, your trip to the Middle East. Say a word, if you would, about your trip, knowing that God now had just sort of commissioned you to write Love in the Face of ISIS. Then you go to the Middle East. Tell us what happened.
Right. Well, we had planned to go into Jerusalem. We had been invited to photograph a wedding of some dear friends of ours. And knowing that we would be there, we had another friend who had a ministry in Jordan that was taking care of the Iraqi refugees. Keep in mind, this was just less than a year after ISIS had routed them out of their homeland of Iraq. So they were fairly new to Jordan, and they were in great need of assistance. And our friend, knowing that we'd be in Jerusalem, invited us to go into Jordan to see the work that they were doing and meet with the Iraqi refugees. And so we had this amazing time just getting to know the heart of the people. And one thing that I share when I talk about the story is just how really ignorant I was about the cultural differences. I thought we would be so different. And what I found out is that we were so similar. And I think that was what startled me the most. Just I had this moment of talking to this man named Amar. He was probably 32 years old, married, had two children, And he wasn't involved in the first routing of Mosul, but he was one that assisted those refugees because they flooded into his city. Think about it in terms of a 20-mile distance from one town to the next. So he was involved in helping refugees, not ever even thinking that he and his family would be found in the same position because he was relying on the confidence of the Kurdish Peshmerga, the Kurdish army, to take care of them and to protect them, which they had that promise, and that's what he was secure in. Well, it was only, I think, 2 weeks afterwards where his town fell, and then he found himself in the same precarious position. Now he was a refugee needing to flee and find safety. And when I met him, he told me his story, just that his heart was so dark, he didn't have time for the Lord. He was spending all of his time in his life just working hard, working two jobs, providing for his family. I'm like, wow, that sounds so much like us.
Yeah.
You know, we just get so involved in our lives. And so the Lord allowed him to be cared for by my friend's organization. They found him living in the upstairs area of this church in one room that was just partitioned by sheets. I think there were 50 families or so that were living in this area with just such limited resources of restroom facilities, shower, water, the whole thing. And so he'd been living that way for months. And so my friend's organization found them a place to stay, apartments for these people, and started to feed and house and bring medical care and schooling for the children. So it was just very beautiful to meet him and just see how the Lord had led him out and allowed him to be ministered in that way.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that story. Do you have a best guess as far as how many people have either been killed or displaced by ISIS?
Wow, I know it was in the hundreds of thousands immediately on. I haven't kept up with the numbers. One of the things that was really interesting to me is when I first got the commission from God to write the book, Love in the Face of ISIS, one of the questions was asked to me, how long do you think that ISIS is going to be in the news? Is this still going to be a current event in a year from now, in 2 years now, from now? And at that time, this is back in 2015, the best guess estimate from the military was it would be at least a seven-year process for us to even get any kind of handle on the situation. But, you know, Susie, what's happened since that time is that in this last year we've seen such movement. And I do believe that it's an answer to the prayers of God's people praying. We've seen how ISIS is losing the strongholds that they once had so guarded so carefully, but they're still very much of a threat. There's still a need to pray, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And they're not just persecuting Christians. They're persecuting nominal Muslims as well, right?
Right. And that's been the case throughout this whole battle, yes. Mm. Anyone who doesn't carry their extreme version of Islam is also targeted.
Mm. In the book, you tell a story about a time when members of ISIS stormed into a home. They demanded the parents renounce their faith or they'd kill the children. And the father repeated the words ISIS had given them to say, and he felt terrible. Do you remember that story, and can you tell the rest of it?
Yes. So there was this a Christian man who was targeted, and his home was broken into. And he did renounce his faith because he couldn't put his children's lives on the line. And that wasn't enough to satisfy the militants who came back and raided his home a second time. And this time they wanted the children to also renounce their faith. And they didn't. And the children were killed. Mm. And, the stories are almost unbelievable. We just can't even wrap our minds around what that's like and what would it mean to really lose your life for the sake of the gospel, and what kind of supernatural courage that takes to be able to follow the Lord even in those situations.
So true, Lorraine. We've got about 4 minutes to our hard break at the bottom of the hour, but as you started to write Love in the Face of ISIS, here again, a book you never probably saw coming, but God downloaded it and said, this is the book I want you to write.
Right.
What were some of the first impressions that you got from him about prayer strategies? What did he show you?
Well, the first thing that I did is I called somebody who lived in the Middle East and asked if she had ever gotten any clarity as an intercessor on how to pray for the situation that's always so volatile. She gave me one tip, and she said, find the I am in the difficulty. And I knew immediately that the Lord was impressing my heart to make these prayer strategies or craft these prayer strategies around the I am covenant names of God. I am the Lord who is there. I'm the Lord of hosts. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord my banner. The Lord will provide. The Lord who heals. And the Lord is peace. And when we carry his name, the name of God, it carries his presence and it permeates with his power. So when we call on his name in these different areas of need, he really does release his strength to answer our prayers.
It's beautiful, powerful. We'll unpack some of those as well. But here's an excerpt I'd love for you to comment on. You said, as you begin to take up this assignment to pray over the crisis in the Middle East, it's crucial that you keep your eyes focused on the one who is love and not let your heart become weighted down by the horrific forces of evil. Through prayer, you are able to assume an offensive position to defeat the enemy as you come into agreement with the purposes of God, the God of love, mercy, and justice. I want you to say more because I think we need to be reminded in the face of such horrific evil that this is still not an equal fight. It's not even a fair fight when we engage with the purposes of God.
Right. And, you know, so many times I hear from people that just recoil at the name of love in the face of ISIS because they hear ISIS and they just want to run. They just want to flee. And it's like, no, love, God is love. This is God in the face of ISIS. This is his design. How is he handling this situation? Susie, this morning I woke up and I had this song running through my head and I heard these lyrics. Father of mercy, come and set the captives free. And I knew that this would be about what we should be talking about today. He's the Father of mercy who's come to set captives free. And I Googled it, and there's a song that has those lyrics.
Wow.
It was just beautiful. So that's his heart. He's a merciful God, and he's also a just God. And we have to remember both. He does hold people accountable for their sins and for their actions, but he's also a God of mercy.
And you have a story in the book about an ISIS jihadist who heard this message in his dream, "You're killing my people." Then Jesus appeared to this man and asked him, "Follow me." And this is not uncommon, is it, Lorraine?
No, this is very common. In fact, that's one of our prayer strategies is to pray that God, that the Yahweh Shema, the Lord is there, would release his presence through dreams, visions, and encounters. And it's very common. In fact, I've met with people who were raised in the Middle East who tell their own story, have told their stories to me of meeting the man in white and encountering Yeshua, Jesus.
And they know it's him, even if they've had no previous introduction
yes.
to Jesus. Somehow they know this is
yes.
Jesus.
Right. It's just this spiritual revelation, this immediate download that gets into the heart. And unless you can't really describe it unless you've experienced. And I've had that experience of a spiritual revelation where you just know that you know, and you don't know how you know, but you just know that it's the Lord.
So good. Talking to Lorraine Varela, her book is titled Love in the Face of ISIS, Seven Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. And, you know, Lorraine writes like she speaks. If you want to move from fear to faith and start making a difference in the world, specifically where the greatest need is, which is Middle East in so many ways, I want you to email to get in on the drawing for this book. Just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Love in the Face of ISIS in that subject line so we know this is the book you're going for. And please, please remember that mailing address. More with Lorraine Varela when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lorraine Varela, who wrote an amazing book titled Love in the Face of ISIS. And she says that we can partner with the purposes of God, and we can even declare to ISIS that love is coming after them. Her subtitle is Seven Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. Four copies to get into your hands. Would love to have 1,000 copies. I think it's so important that all of us are praying about the crisis in the Middle East. It concerns us, and we're standing with our brothers and sisters and those who are vulnerable, and And we're even interceding for members of ISIS because Muslims are coming to Christ in record numbers right now. So email if you want to become a mighty intercessor, right, and to be a part of what God's doing in the bigger story today. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put love in the face of ISIS in your subject line, and don't forget that mailing address. And, Lorraine, you've got a chapter titled Pray to Release the Armies of God. Say a word about the armies of God. What Scripture says and how this prayer is a biblical and a powerful way to pray.
Sure. Well, the armies of God is based on his name, the Lord of hosts. And so you know that he's, you know, the Father is the universal ruler of the universe. And so this whole chapter talks about the military strategy that the Lord releases through our prayer strategies, how he's the supreme power and how he's the universal ruler that Isaiah saw when he was taken up in the vision and seeing the Lord seated on the throne. And hearing the seraph calling, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So so that we call on the Lord of hosts to release his angel armies into the situation and to give us strategies on how to pray. The example of just from the song from this morning is an example of that. The Lord gave strategy this morning, just further revelation. So Father of mercy, come. Set the captives free. And Susie, if I can just add, I think one of the things we have difficulty with when we pray about ISIS in particular is we see them as these faceless monsters that are out there doing horrific things that we can't even identify with. And when I was doing research for the film, not just for the book, but for the film, I came across hearing people's stories, and I was looking at what was the culture for these people who lived in Iraq. And if you go back just a generation or so, you see how children were raised with violence. In fact, I have a friend who was a Muslim friend who was raised in Baghdad, and she told me stories about walking to school, and as children, they'd be walking over dead bodies that were laying in the streets because they had been murdered in their homes the night before, and their bodies had been thrown out to be picked up like garbage by police trucks that would come by and just line them up like matchsticks in the back of the box. I mean, that's how she described seeing dead bodies lined up like matchsticks in a matchbox in the back of the pickup cab. So you see how these children were raised in a culture that really desensitized. They had to so harden their hearts to the violence that was around them. I mean, there was just so much that they experienced. And so it kind of, when I saw that, it made a little bit more sense about, okay, so who are these ISIS fighters? But they were young children who were raised in a cycle of violence, and that's all that they knew. So, you know, the Father has mercy on those that, on, you know, he talks so much about children and his heart for children. And so I think that kind of helped me just have mercy, not excusing the behavior, but allowing to see maybe a little bit more just how God could be merciful in that situation while still holding people accountable for their actions.
Indeed.
And their desires to set the captives free.
And remember who the enemy is, because we can fixate, as you said, on these faceless people, but the enemy is the enemy. Our battles, not against flesh and blood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And exactly.
You said this is interesting in that chapter about releasing the armies of God, that ISIS strategy mirrors that of Goliath's strategy, that they both rely on the perception of strength to intimidate.
Right.
So say more about that and how we can combat that in prayer.
Well, so it was just, as you said, it's through the relying on the perception. If they can get people to believe that they have the strength, then they've already won the battle. We've already given it up. But I think a lot of it goes back to, Susie, just how do we see a situation? If we're only looking at it in the natural, then of course they're going to win this battle.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have the spiritual eyesight to see as God sees. And that goes back to just the beginning of the premise of this book, how it was given to me, vision from heaven, seeing of the earth from God's perspective. So we have to shift our eyesight, and we have to go back up there and see how does he see. And of course, he is the supreme power over all the earth. All the earth belongs to him. So let's go back and let's realign our thoughts and thinking as he sees. And who has the ultimate power but the Lord our God? Hmm. And that's where we need to align our heart and our prayers.
Hmm. So good. And one of the prayers is the prayer to release the presence of God. I'm thinking of somebody listening today going, I don't know how to do that. I don't even know what that means. Speak to it if you would.
Sure. Well, I think just about the presence of God, you know, you can release the presence of God over with your prayers over somebody. I think about the Apostle Paul when he was Saul on the road, and the Lord just encountered him with this blinding light. You know, he didn't really know Jesus at that moment, but yet he had this encounter that forever changed his life. So it's kind of like, is that type of releasing the presence of God, whether somebody knows him or acknowledges him or not, when you encounter the presence of God, your life is forever changed.
Mm-hmm. I got to read this excerpt from that particular chapter. In the presence of darkness, light shines brighter still. Believers in the Middle East who are surrounded by the cruelty of ISIS need to be comforted and strengthened by the powerful presence of God that dwells in them. Pray that the presence of the Holy Spirit will fill them with courage and that the promises of his presence will result in greater awareness of his spirit at all times, releasing hope in their hearts as their faith continues to expand and grow. I mean, that is such a beautiful strategy right there. If someone doesn't even know how to pray for Christians in the Middle East, that would happen, that they have a strong sense of his presence, a strong sense Absolutely. Of his nearness in their circumstances.
Absolutely. And, you know, how strengthening is that? How emboldening is that? You know, no matter what you see in the natural, you know that you are covered by the presence of God. It just fills you with hope.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that's just so powerful is Scripture says he confides in those who fear him. And I've read different stories in the past of Christians who've gotten divine strategy about where to go, where not to go, what to do, and have avoided unbelievable attacks and evil. So we do hear stories of martyrdom and unbelievable hardship, but they also will testify to miracles that we don't see on a daily basis.
Right. Well, hey, that's so biblical. Joseph got a dream mm-hmm. to take Mary and go to Egypt. I mean, that's just how God works.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, how about this one? Prayer to release the protection of God.
Right, and that goes with the heart of the Lord is my shepherd. You know, a shepherd was in charge of making sure that the flock was safe. And so when we pray to release the protection of God, we're also not just praying for the protection of God over the people that are left, which, by the way, their numbers really are dwindling. Those that carry the name of Jesus in that area, their numbers are dwindling. But we're also praying for wisdom and discernment for pastors and workers who are in the Middle East. Just like my friend Amar that I was talking about, where he was found by a shepherd through this organization. They shepherded him and they taught him and they protected and they guided and they provided and they did all of that mimics what the Lord does for us.
Hmm. Thank the Lord for the courageous people that are still there and tending to the
yes.
needs. Wow. You said in times
yes.
of trouble, the need for a shepherd's protection is never more acute. Scripture is filled with testimonies of those who cried out to God in their distress, and he answered their prayer. Prayers spoken in agreement with his will, prayers that released his response for protection. And maybe for someone listening today, Lorraine, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here, but give an example.
Okay.
I mean, just let's pray. Let's just pray for a moment to release the protection of God so someone can agree with you, but also hear what that sounds like. Would you mind just saying a prayer right now as we pray and remember those who are in the Middle East even now?
Sure. Well, Father God, we come to you in the name of your name, the Lord of hosts, Yah Sevaot, Father, and we just ask that you would make your protection known to those who are in need of protection today, those who are in the Middle East and those who are close to home, Father God, those who need protection from the adversary of their souls, those who are facing unjust circumstances, and they need protection, Father, because they have just become so overwhelmed by the fight that they're in. God, would you just surround them as a shield? Would you send your angel armies in to fight battles for them? Father, thank you for your protection and your hand over the workers in the Middle East who carry your name and who carry your love into that situation and region. Father, would you continue to just encourage their hearts too as they stand in the gap and look to see your purposes done on earth as they are in heaven. Father, we just thank you for your immense love for people of all nations, of all races. And we just ask that your love would just be seen in tangible ways through your protection, through your name, Yah Sevaot. We thank you and pray this in agreement with your will and faith.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. It's good to pause and pray. spontaneously throughout the day, I would say. And here's another one I'd love for you to speak to before this final break coming up here. Pray to release perseverance for the people of God. Wow, if there was ever a time that God's people, especially in the Middle East, needed perseverance, it's now. Speak to that one.
Sure. You know, perseverance is so important because it's the enemy's strategy to rid the Middle East of the presence of believers and to hinder God's end time plan. I think that's the main key, is that it's the enemy's strategy. Like you said earlier, this is who we're fighting. You know, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities and powers. What some of your listeners may not be aware of is that when ISIS first came into Mosul, they were coming into the seat of Nineveh, this very same area and region where Jonah the prophet was sent to preach repentance. I find that just so amazing. But, you know, that's not a coincidence. And God knows that there's a reason for this. There's a spiritual significance over that region. And around the 1940s and 1950s, there was a routing of Jewish people from that region. And so the enemy was able to get rid of the Jewish people and the Jewish population from the area because he knew that there's a prophecy in Isaiah 19 he's very aware of about the highway that goes through Egypt and through Iraq and Israel. And so we need to also be aware of the strategy, both God's strategy and the enemy's strategy, so that we can come into alignment with our prayers and pray effectively.
Here's another one. Pray to release the provision of God. Speak to that one.
Yes. Well, I think that's the first thing that comes to our mind when we hear about these humanitarian crises. And I was listening to your last guest, Sarah, who talked about charity fatigue. Mm-hmm. And I thought sometimes we come into provision fatigue and prayer fatigue as these situations are just ever unfolding and seemingly unending. But provision is, I think, the one thing that we all just really have our hearts tugged on. And it's the easiest, I think, for us to fulfill, because writing a check isn't as difficult as it is to go into the area and meet with refugees or take care of them. But we can certainly provide with our prayers for that the Lord would release provision for physical and emotional and spiritual needs. It's not just about food to eat or a roof over the head. There's so much more that is needed when we think of provision.
So this is what we can do. We can pray for God's protection, his provision, for his healing, perseverance, for his peace. Boy, for the armies of God to be released to intervene for the bigger kingdom story in the Middle East. Talking to Lorraine Varela. When we come back, I want to use the last segment, Lorraine, to talk about what you and your hubby are doing and just how this all started. For people who hopped in the car and missed the opening, I want to reset your story a little bit of how this God impressed on your heart to write this book. Right on the heels of it, you're called to write a film script, which you'd never done before. And now you are both out in California. But I also want you to speak to the person who wants to know how to walk in step with God, to be in the right place at the right time, so that God can do wonders in and through them. Talking to Lorraine Varela. Her story is amazing. Don't go away. More from her when we return.
I want to be different. I want to be changed. Till all of me is gone. And all that remains.
Really hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Lorraine Varela. She wrote the book, Love in the Face of ISIS, 7 Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. Super powerful book. If you need some just pointed direction about how to intercede and be really a kingdom mover, especially with regards to what's going on in the Middle East, I'd love for you to email. Get in on the drawing, because we have 4 copies of this book. Email me, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Love in the Face of ISIS in that subject line and remember that mailing address. And Lorraine, I want to just back up, because I feel like somebody may need to hear this today, especially if they missed the opening. So here you are at a writer's conference, wanting to meet with a particular editor, and God drops this idea, Love in the Face of ISIS, this book in your lap and truly and in your heart. And within a few weeks, you've got a contract for this book. That doesn't typically happen, although conferences are amazing. That's kind of amazing. And then a few weeks later, you go to another conference and you get hooked up with these film producers, and you pitch this same idea, but in a film genre, and they're like, can you write this? I've never done this before. So you go and you learn how to write a film script, and then you did that, and you handed that in. a year later. I want you just to say more about what that process has been like since then and how God has met you there.
Well, one thing that I wanted to say is that you have to be certain that God is in it.
That's right.
For you to have the confidence to do it. And if I didn't believe that God was in it, I wouldn't have attempted to do either one, book or film. And just an example, when I was at the conference for the book, and we were with three groups, my group got the topic ISIS in the Middle East. One of the other groups got the topic of how to write a cookbook for roadkill. That could have been my topic.
Yeah.
And yet it wasn't. Hmm. And there's we talked earlier today about that spiritual knowing. You just know that you know that God is giving this to you. And so that when he's in it, you can do it. Also, the day that I met with the producers, several things happened that day that just showed me that God is in it. One thing happened is that I sat in on a workshop on how to write poems. Well, I'm not a poet. I've never written a poem in my life. I was just taking that class to fill the time. And I came out of that one-hour workshop with a poem that I loved. And I'm like, wow, this really speaks to me. I was able to craft this. And God used that experience to show me, Lorraine, you just did something today that you never even thought you would do, had no desire to do, and it came out great. You know, it really connected with your heart. And it was like that experience showed me that, no, I've never done this before, but because God is in it, it's going to happen.
Mm.
So that's part of how, yeah.
I was just going to say, one thing I've been reading and praying just through in my devotional time is the idea of how often we base our theology solely on our experiences, and yet our experiences are so limited. And one of the things that the Lord's been speaking to me about these days is that there are experiences in me, he's speaking in my heart, that you've not even touched yet, that you don't even know yet. And so how about you ask me for some new experiences that are just completely different, off of your lane, off of your radar, so that you can know how vast I really am. And that's been a fun way to pray, really, to go, I want to know you on a deeper level in ways I've never known you before. And you, that's something, you're a girl who runs after God's heart, and he's found by you. So talk about what this year-long experience has been like for you, Lorraine, to tackle. And here, again, another piece I want to throw in here. You're willing to work your tail off. You've worked very hard to learn a craft that you didn't know.
Right.
How do you write a film? And so talk about just that process and how God met you and how hard you worked.
Yeah, I call it writing under the anointing of his presence because I know that it's not me. I know it's not me, but yet I know I have to do everything that I can to be work in partnership with the Lord. So it's both. You know, I couldn't do it without him, but yes, I have to work really hard. It's on your knees, Susie. I mean, for the book and for the film, I would start every day seriously on my knees, praying in my prayer language, praying with my mind and my understanding, Lord, I need your help. I'm just looking at a blank page and I have no idea what to do. And then he would just deposit a thought. And I'm thinking about the book in this sense. He would just deposit a thought, and I'd have a memory that I hadn't remembered in years. I'm like, oh, well, that would fit in this piece. And then I would just start to write, and then I would write a paragraph. Maybe it'd be just a sentence, and I'd be back on my knees. Lord, I need the next piece because I don't know what to write. And so the book, for your listeners to know, it's just that book was written on my knees, receiving and being trained by the Lord, taught by the Lord, just as he was wanting to have me release that to other people. It was written for me, too. Mm-hmm. I have not learned to pray this way. So.
Wow. And then your husband, when did you and your hubby knew that it was time for you to move and take another next step?
We had a dream. God gave me a dream on January 21st, day after inauguration of President Trump. I had a dream. And it was so powerful to me. It was just the Lord just showed me. If I can share the dream, a bus came up to my church, and my husband and I were in the church in the dream, and the driver opened the door halfway and said, get in. And I reached for my pocket, and I felt my phone, and I knew that was a symbol of prayer, that I had prayer with God. Great, we've got that. And I reached to my other side and I looked for my purse, and my purse was missing. And that was representing everything I rely on, my finances, my ability to provide. All that stuff was in the church. And I had a choice. I could either get on the bus or I could go back for my purse. And instead, in the dream, my husband and I got on the bus halfway, which just showed, you know, we didn't have everything we needed, but we were going by faith. We were coming by faith. And so we moved from Seattle to Los Angeles, and And since then, we've been invited to be, as you said, the chaplains or the pastors for our producers on set for all of their films, not just the one that I wrote. So we'll be in Oklahoma, Lord willing, in April, starting that ministry on set.
Wow. What advice do you have for that person who really longs to be in step with the Lord, responding to those nudges, daring to take next steps, daring to try things that they've never tried before? What are just some first steps they can take?
Childlike faith.
Yeah.
The Lord responds to childlike faith. And I think so often what prevents us from going further is we become too cerebral about the process, and we try to figure things out, and we try to be logical and have everything make sense. And the Lord just is looking for those who will have childlike faith to believe him at his word and to trust him. And when he sees that, then he, you know, there's this, the Bible story of when you're entrusted with little, you'll be given more. Sometimes it's just, you know, that first step, that first action of trusting. It might just be a little thing, trusting him and just that little nudge. Do you respond or do you withhold and question? I'm not sure that's really from the Lord. You know, anytime the Lord nudges your heart to share his word, to share his name, to extend love to somebody, you can be pretty sure it's from him.
Boy, that's so great. And now that you've written the script, I know you've still got some work ahead of you, but what other projects are in front of you? Anything you're dreaming about?
Well, the project that I'm working on right now is the novelization of the script. Usually movies
are... Oh, really? So you're going to try a third genre? Sorry.
Yes.
You audacious girl.
I'm in the middle of it, Susie. It's so hard.
I love it. I mean, writing novels is a whole different animal, so why not just go for a trifecta there?
Yeah. Wow. I kept trying to get out of it, and the Lord's just not letting me, nor are my producers. And so, okay, Lord, this is, and you know, that's just the thing. It's just, I'm like everybody else. Lord, this is overwhelming. And my husband has said this so many times. I can't tell how many times I said to Gabriel, this is so hard. He goes, you say that all the time. You got this. You
know? Wow, that's just beautiful. Well, as we get ready to wrap and pray, I just get the sense someone's listening today, Lorraine, that's been playing it safe, that's been staying in the known zone, and yet God's, you know, inviting them out to the unknown zone, to the faith zone, to say, will you trust me? Will you try things you've not ever tried before? Will you risk feeling like a small fish in a big sea so you can see what I have? Wondering if you would pray for that person.
Yes. Father, your word says that your eyes roam the surface of the earth. You're looking for hearts who are completely yielded to you, God. And I know that you have your eyesight set on the person that is listening today, because their heart is accelerating with this, oh God, could this be me? And he's just saying yes. And Father, I just ask that you would make it clear to the one who's listening of what it is that you're asking them to do. I ask that you would just remove every trace of fear as you allow faith to rise up. Jesus, I thank you that you're the author and the perfecter of faith. And so we ask that you would do your work of faith in that heart right now, because you are looking for your children to walk in step with you. So, Father, I just ask that you would remove every obstacle, objection that stands in the way as they walk with you in faith. For your name's sake.
Amen. I love you, Lorraine. Thank you for the time today. What a delight it's been.
Amen. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. It's been a blessing for me, too.
Love to come out and see you in your element someday.
Yes.
It'd be really awesome.
You're welcome.
Love to do
yes.
that. And the sunshine doesn't hurt a tad at all.
No, it's actually pretty amazing.
Amazing. Lorraine Marie Varela, and her book is titled Love in the Face of ISIS, 7 Prayer Strategies for the Crisis in the Middle East. Wow, great show today. Hope you were encouraged and inspired as I was. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a really great day. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.